Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Today we are here to make you think and maybe we consider a few things. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about, Letitia?
Today's topic is called There's Nothing Wrong With You. Well, there's nothing wrong with the submitted version of you, the version of you that God intended.
Yes, because sometimes there can be something wrong with you. You know, maybe you are in your pizza stages and a bit violent with the knives, trying to cut people's ears off. And we cannot allow you to continue like that. Mm-hmm. But the same thing that is not necessarily right, you know, once submitted to God, can come out differently.
Yes.
You know, and that's why we're saying it's not that there's something wrong with you. It's just that you need to take that whole package with the mess mm-hmm. and the stuff that's good about you, bring it back to God, submit it, and let's see where He takes it from there. Letitia, where do we start?
Well, when we're saying that there's nothing wrong with you, it essentially means that God had a plan for you, that your uniqueness was orchestrated and ordained by Him. Doesn't it sometimes feel like, babe, we are expected to be the exact same person? You have to be like this person. You have to walk like this person. And though we have these amazing biblical figures that we can take inspiration from, sometimes it just feels like, oh, now you must be Esther. You must be this person. You must be that person. But the truth is that the Lord is about your uniqueness. And in one of the previous episodes, we've actually spoken a bit about your uniqueness in Christ Jesus and how God is not limited to fulfill the promises that He's made upon your life because of your uniqueness. We've got a Paul who was still able to do everything God needed to do through him without any marriage or any children. We've got your Abraham whose children outnumber the sands at the seashore, and he only had one Isaac. And then you've got Jacob who had the tribes of Israel. And so you don't have to be like anybody else for God to fulfill what He purposed for your life. And for this, I want to quickly look at Ephesians 2 verse 10, which says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus." So the masterpiece that we are is subjected to us being created anew in Christ Jesus. And because of the original sin, right, it means that we're born with something that must be submitted. We must be born afresh. We must be born anew. But once we're born afresh and once we're born anew, there is a purpose and a plan for your life, from your character to your likes, your dislikes, your style, that is all coming together for the greater purpose of what God wanted you to be.
Yes, there are people, for example, who join a ministry, and let's say you're in a ministry where the pastor screams and he shouts and he's loud. And, you know, he probably has my character, you know. Looking at my wife goes, you know, these are things we had to deal with even in our marriage, yes. Where I am loud, you know, I scream. I don't think I scream. I think the volume is a bit high. Jesus did that, not me. But we have a partner here who is very quiet, you know, more reserved. More calculated. I still think my wife speaks more than me, but you know, that's a different story. Let's not fight here on TV.
Okay.
we'll get into that off camera, you know. But we had to give each other space to know that the way she is not bad. You know, the way I am is also not bad. It's actually the way God uses us. You know, you more for the one-on-ones. You know, Letitia wants to get personal. She wants to get deep into the stuff. You know, I want to just hit it straight. You know, I'll scream, hey, stop that. You know, and you'll know what I'm saying, you know. And when we get into our characters, the one is more sensitive to the people's feelings, where the other is like, look, this is what it is.
Guess who's more sensitive to people?
You know. And We just had to accept that there's nothing wrong with it if it is submitted. Because now, if you are not submitted, you'll go out being loud, hurting people, addressing people in times where God has not released you to, you know, getting into topics where maybe the Lord is dealing with a person, but the person is not yet ready to receive. But also, you could be too quiet, you know, where something bad is happening and you don't say a thing, you know, you just feel like, you know, maybe you're bothering people and you're in isolation. So we have to judge ourselves through God's eyes, okay? Through understanding the workmanship that we are. Because when you start copying or trying to simulate what you sing maybe on the pulpit every Sunday, just because it works for your pastor does not mean it will work for you. Just because there's someone you're looking up to who acts and preaches in a certain way doesn't mean you have to change your way. And I've met many very effective pastors who are not loud. You get me? Just in the silence, they move. And I've met people like my wife, you know, they will whisper it, but it will hit hard. And it will get to the place, you know? And then you also meet people who are loud, but you can't hear them, you know, because they're actually empty, you know? But when you begin to copy or simulate or something that you think would work because it's working for the bigger names that you know, maybe a TD Jakes and all of this, then you are not walking in your purpose. And also, the worst part of this is when you submit to a pastor or a ministry that is trying to change you, that feels that you have to be a certain way. You know, I love to pick on our crew, Paul and Tracy. They're a good couple, husband and wife. The one is for this side of the camera, and the other works behind the camera. You know, and I just remember the day, the first time they were talking to us about it. And, you know, they're great at what they do. But they also understand that, okay, I'm for the front, I'm for the back, and they do a good job for it. Now, imagine if we turn it around. You know, suddenly the cameras are sitting skew, you know, because we believe that, okay, Paul must also be in front of the camera, you know. And, you know, Paul will probably freeze up here, you know. I just love that I can say this and H still have to record. You know? But we have to appreciate that, that the person who is behind the camera is capturing it right. The volume sounds right. Yeah. The color schemes are right. So let's appreciate people for where they are called to be and not try to make them what we think will make them better according to who we are.
And then let's talk about trust as well as perversion, right? Do we trust that the line or the alignment in which God is placing us is uniquely for us? You know, we live in a generation where we have so many examples of success. There's just information overload. And you'll hear people saying things like, I want to be the next Mark Zuckerberg. I want to be the next Jeff Bezos. But Jeff Bezos didn't have a Jeff Bezos to look forward to, and neither did Mark Zuckerberg. And honestly, even when you look into scripture, when Abraham was bringing Isaac up for the sacrifice, he didn't have a Bible saying there would be a ram in the bush.
Yes.
We really have the privilege of walking into our journeys and knowing that, no, this happened to Abraham, so there's probably a ram in the bush. But the Abrahams and the Jobs and the Esthers, they didn't know if they would actually die by doing what they were called to do. But what they had is that they had a trust and a faith in the Lord their God, that whatever he is calling them to do, as long as it is from him, it would work out according to his purpose. And so that level of trust and abandon and knowing that my walk may not look like everybody else, I may not look like everybody else, I may not sound like everybody else, but I know that I am the submitted version of myself to Christ Jesus. And if he's called me to be like this and look like this and, you know, wear my headband or whatever it is, then he has a purpose for even those little things. So that's what I quickly wanted to say about trusting God's plan for you and not attaching yourself to, I must be like Danny because that's working for Danny. But that's working for Danny because he submitted it to Christ, and that's how it came out of the Christ microwave or the Christ oven. So you need to ask yourself, how do I come out of the Christ oven when I put myself back in? And then perversion. Perversion is really important because when we say there's nothing wrong with you and then we say the submitted version of you, it is because the enemy, see, he cannot create, but he loves to mimic what the Lord has already done. And he will come to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10. So we have to be careful that we are the version of ourselves that is not broken, because that's what the enemy does, right? So you are you, but you are the broken version of you. And I've seen it so much in people who come out and tell their testimonies, right? You will see a young man who was living a life of perversion with lots of promiscuity and a woman, a different woman every weekend. When that person comes to Christ, you will find that he's called to mothers, or he's called to women, or he's called to daughters. And what the enemy will do is he will take that really good thing that God has put in you for his purpose and for his glory, and he will completely pervert it. Sometimes, even in our walk with Christ, we can make unclean what God has made clean. For example, there is this big thing about not looking too nice or too pretty or too put together or too, you know, because it's a sort of Jezebelic thing, spirit for you to put together and look a certain way. But then you've got an Esther. In Esther and Jezebel, we see a submitted version of beauty and we see an unsubmitted version of beauty. I mean, surely if the Lord can use donkeys to speak to people, he can also use beauty, right?
Yeah.
He can also use style. He can also use personality. There are certain people that are called to style, and you have a finesse with your style. Remember that God can use anything to favor you. You can walk into a room, and the person who's about to change your life is just touched by your style and says, hey, there's that woman, there's that young man. He's so well-dressed. And that brings the attention to you that will then lead to the change in your future. But what is that style? You know, you can be called to style, but are you called to a modest style? Are you called to a godly style? You can really still be called in the very same place, but have a submitted version of that calling and an unsubmitted version of that calling. And in Scripture, we actually see it very well with Paul. This man was persecuting Christians when the truth is he writes over half of the gospel that we now talk about today. So this is someone who was supposed to be calling people to Jesus. This is someone who was supposed to be saving multitudes. And if you look from the time that he did his work in Acts and Romans and all of that to now, how many lives have been saved? How many people have become believers because they read the work of the Apostle Paul versus the unsubmitted and perverted version of him that was actually persecuting the very same group of people that he was supposed to be saving?
We have to think of it this way. The passion that Paul had was from God. The perverted version of that passion was persecuting and killing.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite of it, once it was submitted, it was saving. It was still aggressive.
Yeah.
They told him, hey, you go there, they're going to kill you. They're going to stone you. You say, well, I'll go. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't afraid. But what people will do is we'll demonize the passion. We won't see that, no, the passion is fine. It's just the way in which the person is operating right now is not submitted. Same thing, you'll find people who will tell you, yeah, I'm loud, just deal with it. But they talk out of turn, they're very rude, they don't consider people, they don't consider the setting. So there are those people you can't take to good places because they will embarrass you, you know. So we are trying to encourage you to be intentional. Submit that thing. There's nothing wrong with your personality. There's nothing wrong with the way God has created you. But it can be broken. It can be expressed out wrongly. Now, there's also an interesting aspect of this that has to do with calling. You know, how people perceive your calling and how they think it should manifest. And this one doesn't surprise me because Jesus had the same problem. Because Jesus showed up like a lamb. And everyone was like, no, the Messiah was supposed to come and do 4, 5, 6, maybe kick out the Roman Empire. Let's make him king. You know, this Jesus is sitting there thinking, guys, I'm here to deal with the sin of humanity as a whole. Like, I'm here to die on the cross. You are thinking kingdoms. Be a king. A king for what? Just for that little country and then it's done. He's thinking humanity. So sometimes people will have a perception of how they think you should operate. But you need to go back to God and make sure that in your submittance, He shows you how that weapon is meant to be used. You know, just because you are a weapon does not mean you should be used anyway or anyhow. You could be a silent killer, you know. My friends and I have this thing about snipers. We were like, a sniper is quiet. It just hits. You won't even know where it came from, you know. But then there are times when you need a bomb. And maybe God just wants to shake things up. You know, I believe that even presidents that didn't have the best reputation, like Trump, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not even in that country. But I'm saying that when we read scripture, we can understand God using Pharaoh. But in our world today, if we don't agree with a person, no, God cannot be using them. You know, there are extreme measures that need extreme people. Whether the person is good or bad, that doesn't matter. But we need to know that maybe you are the extreme person. Maybe you are the loud person, the loud voice that will not be liked. But God will use you to remind us on maybe it's righteousness. Maybe it's gluttony. You know, maybe it's gender issues. You just submit yourself to God. And don't try to please man. Don't try to please a church. Don't try to please a ministry. I'm also not encouraging rebelliousness. I'm not saying run away from the elders that you've submitted to because they're not ready to release you yet. And suddenly you want to, especially when people are young, they just want to do whatever they think is right. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, if you are submitted, if you know you take time to pray, to fast, to seek God, and He's telling you to do things that may not seem right, still trust Him and do it the way He's asked you to.
And then even the bit about the elders and when you're under people and they're leading you and they're guiding you, it does not take away the place of God in your life. And it's something that we encounter a lot nowadays, where we are hearing very fresh and very good words from the people that God has put in positions of leadership, but we are not hearing from God for ourselves.
Yes.
You know, somebody can have good intentions for you that kick you completely out of the will of God, and they're just loving you out of purpose because they mean well, and they're saying, you know what, Letitia, you feel like you should have this big YouTube ministry, but I'm worried for you because the comment section is, you know, it's fire. I don't want to put you in that kind of furnace. But you're hearing the Lord saying that, no, I have to go for it because there's an online revival that's happening. And I think even with the example of Jesus, Jesus was connected enough to know what He was here to do.
Yes.
Because there can be so many voices that are telling you, this
and
is
good
how,
voices, well-meaning voices.
Exactly. Educated voices. I mean, the Pharisees were no people to be played with. I mean, today they're the bad guys because they didn't see the new coming, the new covenant. But the truth is that these were very, very well-educated people within the scriptures and within the gospels. And so they meant well. They just couldn't see. But Jesus saw, and Jesus knew what He was here to do.
Yes.
And so He was never fazed by what anybody thought He should be doing, that the people that were meant to walk with Him, that the Father would align Him with them, and they would walk with Him. I also wanted to talk about grace. When God calls you to do something, there's grace for you within that thing. You know, I will often read scripture and see how some people were actually called to be militant and to fight wars and to go into countries and decimate them. We speak of Joshua, we speak of David, we speak of Samson, but these were people who were going into places and literally killing other people. Yeah. But God had given them a grace for that level, that aggression, that passion, whatever you want to call it. God had instilled it in them for the freedom of nations. Mm. And so somebody else can look at a David and say, but he's a murderer. Yeah. It's interesting when we speak of David, he only became a murderer when he killed outside of God's call for him, because it was a spring season where the kings were at war. Yeah. So he was supposed to be at war killing other people. The issue came in when he killed Uriah, because that was not in his grace. Mm. So even when you have the grace to do something, you have to understand your limits. You have to understand your jurisdiction. Mm. That just because God has given you a voice to speak, or God has given you a certain level of humility or meekness, does not mean that you now keep quiet when God has called you to speak. Does not mean that you now go ahead of God when God has told you to stop. So David, in that moment, through the perversion that was going on, may have forgotten that I can't just kill anybody I want. Even the killing is submitted to God. Yeah. And so it is so important to talk about the fact that God made you as a masterpiece. Yeah. And it only goes according to His way when we keep resubmitting ourselves every single day, so that, as Scripture says, we do not fall off. The brothers and sisters that fall off, according to what Paul speaks about in the New Testament.
Yep. So, we've said a lot, and we're going to really have to sum it up. And this is where you have to be real with yourself. You know, are you walking in the submitted version of you? You know, are you out there saying, yeah, the gospel offends, but you are intentionally offending people for attention, you know, just to be right? Are you just fighting to fight? Or are you fighting in purpose? The opposite. Are you quiet according to what God's told you to do in this season? Or are you watching things fall apart and not playing your role? Because maybe you're scared, you don't feel significant, or you've not embraced the way in which God has called you. Mm. And today, you need to put all those things about you in front of you and ask yourself if you are walking in obedience or disobedience. Not doing it now or when God's told you to do it is disobedience. All right.
And we will see you next time.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Van Billies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Van Billies, you can just type in at the Van Billies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Van Billy, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Van Billy. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.